Imagine seeing the worst of humanity every day. Most police officers, first responders, and medical examiners have at least one case that was so brutal and traumatizing, it's forever seared in their memory. Their literal job is to tend to the victims of some of the most vicious and horrific acts of violence that most of us probably couldn't even begin to comprehend. The majority of these courageous people are able to push the tragedy aside in order to maintain their professionalism. How they do it, I have absolutely no idea. But even the most seasoned, tough, and professional investigator will never forget the case that haunts them. Our case today, the abduction, rape, and murder of 8-year-old Jackie Clark, is one of those tragedies that not only haunted the victim's loved ones, but also the detectives, the searchers, the community, and pretty much everyone else who came in contact with this horrific tragedy.
It's Friday, and you're listening to MU Minis.
Hey, crime crew, it's Melissa, and I want to welcome you to MU Minis, where every Friday we cover big crimes in a fraction of the time. But don't worry, our full-length deep dive episodes still air every Tuesday on our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. Our theme this month is The Case That Haunts Me. Be sure to like and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out. Now let's get into this week's mini. Saturday, June 3rd, 1995, was a warm summer night when 8-year-old Jackie Clark disappeared. Jackie was a third grader who lived in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, with her mother, Tammy, her stepfather, Bruce, and her 3-year-old brother. On this night in particular, Jackie was sleeping over at her friend Robin's home. After dinner, the girls begged Robin's mother to go outside and play. She reluctantly agreed, but told the girls to stay in the yard. Jackie and Robin went outside to play and soon met up with a neighborhood friend, Matthew. It was still light out when the three kids decided to leave Robin's yard and head to a nearby pond in the woods in hopes of catching frogs. Sadly, only two of the kids would return home that night. What began as a fun, carefree summer night would end in a tragedy that continues to haunt the people of Fredericton. Later that night, a call came in to Detective Sergeant Mike Richard. He was needed down at the station to help investigate the disappearance of little Jackie Clark. When Detective Richard arrives, he's thrown right into the thick of it when he finds out his young nephew was one of the two children playing with Jackie that night. The young man is scared, but quickly opens up to his uncle, telling him that Jackie didn't wander off. She was abducted by a heavyset bearded man with bad teeth who was wearing a helmet and driving an ATV. The man had pulled up to where the children were playing, spoke to them for a few minutes, and then offered the children a ride. Jackie, who had never been on an ATV, tentatively agreed. The man told the kids he would bring Jackie right back. But sadly, Jackie was never seen alive again. While the detective's nephew wasn't able to identify the man, he was able to work with a sketch artist, and the resulting image was circulated around town. Soon enough, tips came in that led police to a trailer park right near where Jackie was last seen. While initially there to kind of canvass the park, something caught the eye of investigators. An ATV parked out in front of one of the mobile homes. The owner of the trailer and the ATV was 35-year-old Murray Lyons. They asked Lyons about the ATV, and he explained it actually didn't work. And when pressed for his alibi the night Jackie was abducted, Lyons claimed he had spent the night working on the ATV. Investigators asked to take a photo of Murray Lyons, and while he initially said no, he begrudgingly agreed. This photo was taken to the detective's nephew, who upon seeing it was visibly shaken and confirmed that was the face of the man who had abducted his friend. Murray Lyons was arrested for Jackie's abduction. Initially, he claimed he had nothing to do with Jackie's abduction. The story would eventually change, with Lyons not only admitting the ATV did work, but also to giving Jackie a ride on it, but claiming he dropped her off alive and well, albeit alone, in the woods after dark. Detectives really didn't believe his story, and they were convinced he was guilty of abducting little Jackie, but without concrete evidence, they couldn't hold him. Hundreds of volunteers spent the weekend searching high and low for Jackie. RCMP helicopters searched, and police dogs were brought in. But on Monday, June 5th, around 10:20 a.m., the body of 8-year-old Jackie Clark was found in a wooded area off Claudie Road in Fredericton. She had been strangled and buried in a shallow grave. It would later be determined Jackie had been sexually assaulted prior to her murder. DNA was discovered on her body, but at the time of her murder, there was no legal way to get a DNA sample from someone accused of a crime. However, the laws were changed during this investigation, and Jackie's case was the first case in Canada to use this type of DNA warrant. Unfortunately, due to how Jackie's remains were left, the DNA was discovered to be too contaminated and ultimately unusable. This infuriated detectives and really destroyed their case. Without DNA or a confession, police knew Murray the Monster would never be convicted. While Lyons had no priors, police were positive this couldn't be his first sexual assault. And they were right. Two young women would come forward and tell their horrific stories of being sexually assaulted by Murray Lyons. Both assaults happened when these girls were 8 years old, the same age as Jackie. With Lyons still refusing to admit guilt, Detective Richard consulted with Dr. Robert Keppel, the man who coaxed Ted Bundy into confessing to most of his murders. After that consultation, Detective Richard knew what he needed to do. Although it would destroy him for years to come, he gave the performance of a lifetime when he managed to build a rapport with this foul monster. Lyons eventually confessed to the abduction, rape, and murder of 8-year-old Jackie Clark. On January 30th, 1996, the court convicted Murray Lyons of first-degree murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison. He filed an appeal in 97, which was swiftly denied. On May 28, 1999, 39-year-old Murray Lyons got what he deserved when he was murdered in prison by another inmate. 33-year-old Michael Smith admitted to killing Lyons by tying an extension cord around his neck. One can only hope it was an excruciating death. It would take Detective Richard decades to open up about how Jackie's murder affected him. He spent years shutting out his family and the world, his heart just so broken for Jackie and her family. About the case, he has been quoted as saying, "I have carried the scars of this case my whole life. It haunts me today." Some crimes don't end when the scene is cleared. They linger in the minds of those who bear witness, haunting investigators, first responders, and medical examiners for years to come. In their memories, the case is never truly closed. That's all for this week's MU Mini. Tune in on Tuesday for our next full-length episode, and until then, stay safe, stay curious, stay unscripted.